There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
ESPN 97.5.
KFNC and 97.9 HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Super Bowl 59 in the books with the Philadelphia Eagles crushing the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22 in a game that was not even close to being that close. What are the lessons that the Houston Texans can learn from a game like that? Let's just go full flagship. Again, they don't exist anymore because they interviewed someone that they thought was Stephon Diggs. They don't exist.
He was not.
They had, for the record. They had an apology on the air this morning, and then they went off the air. It's a shame. A lot of people out of work. I feel for them, and we wish them well. Maybe they can do some fill-in shifts for us. We'll see. But
some of them.
Ultimately, it's about the big game. What's the biggest lesson the Texans can take away from last night's massacre of Kansas City?
Fix your offensive line. Number one, because it was the problem all year. We all knew it, and it exposed the Texans all season. But last night we saw, if you can't protect your quarterback, they got no shot. It doesn't matter if you have C.J. Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. If your quarterback's not protected, if your quarterback doesn't have time back there, then you've got no shot to win a game when it matters most. If a team can get after you without sending a single blitzer in the entire game, then you can't win football games. So you got to fix your offensive line.
Well, I don't see how you do that in one offseason.
Well, I don't know that either.
When the Chiefs lost to the Bucks in the Super Bowl, they got very aggressive in addressing their offensive line the offseason right afterwards. And I remember there were a lot of teams across the NFL that were trying to do the same thing. I was up in Seattle at the time, and I remember Russell Wilson somehow made that Super Bowl loss for Patrick Mahomes all about him, saying, yeah, that's how I felt when I was out there, losing in the second round of the playoffs again. He was running for his life behind an offensive line that didn't work. But I don't know that you can fix all of that. So I really think the biggest lesson is you need to have the best possible pass rush. And I think when you take a look at what the Texans have, they're definitely off to a great start, having Will Anderson, having Danielle Hunter. You take a look at the defensive tackles, and I felt like they got a lot out of that group considering they didn't put that much capital into it. A lot of guys that they brought in during the offseason and Danico Autry, but I would say that generally across the league weren't in high demand. Can you make that better than it already is? Because if you don't, your linebackers, who are not that good in coverage, are going to get exposed. And it's hard to find linebackers like a Zach Bond for Philadelphia, who was essentially on the scrap heap this offseason. You don't know where you're going to find a guy like that. So what you can do is try your absolute best to find a guy like that. But more importantly, I think you want to continue to add to your pass rush so that you can win a game where you're just sending a couple of guys and you know that they're going to wreak havoc.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the easiest thing that they can replicate from last night's game is that. I think the one that it's because you could have taken him in theory. The Will Anderson was the right pick still, I think, because of all the chaos that was going on around Jalen Carter at the time. But that, to me, seems like the one area where I feel like the Texans' defensive line can improve the most is on the interior. On the edge, they're great. Hunter, Anderson, any guys, I feel like they were rolling out there were really good this year. But I feel like you can upgrade from Foley Fatukasi. He was good for you this year, but I think you can still upgrade that position. You could upgrade from Marv Edwards. So if you're going to replicate one of those things, that's where it starts. Because that's part of the reason why also I feel like the Eagles' corners were so good this year. Yes, they're good. They're good players, and so were the Texans' corners. But when you're constantly getting that much pressure on people, it makes it so much easier for the other team. And that's the one where, it wouldn't – I think some people might be upset with it, Paul, but if they draft a defensive tackle with the 25th pick, if it's the best player on the board, like, it's not the worst decision ever. There are other needs to fix, but part of, like, it could make a lot of sense just to go, like, really all in with, like, one group of players.
Go best player available. You haven't had the best luck in the draft of late when it comes to offensive linemen. You just haven't. I mean, Titus Howard, back of the first round pick. Xavier Suofilo, first pick of the second round. Is Drew Scruggs that good? Kenyon Green, that's a top 10 pick. You've had lots of guys come in and out, and it hasn't worked out so well. So, yeah, I'm with you in that you can't be married to drafting a specific position with that 25th selection.
Yeah, you just have to do what's best for the team. If you really need to draft a specific guy, like, in the draft, then you have to move up and go get him. You can't just be like, well, we have to get a guard. Because I think we see teams make – usually that's where they make their worst mistakes in the draft, is when you – whether it's quarterback. I think a lot of times, like, quarterback is obviously where it gets amplified, where it's like, well, we need a quarterback, so we're just going to take one. Like, if the Titans take Cam Ward this year, they're just taking one to take one. But if you take the best player, whether it's a position that you have strength at or weakness at, it's usually what's best for your roster. And that's what the Eagles have done. The Eagles drafted – a defensive lineman in the first round for like three straight years. They went Nolan Smith. They had Jalen Carter. They had another one. I think it was before that. They constantly just kept doing it. And this year they doubled down in the second round and in the first round with cornerbacks. They drafted Quinyon Mitchell in the first, and then they drafted Cooper DeJean in the second because they were the best players on the board. And they were a position of need also.
It was a position of need, right? Their defense last year was awful. Mm-hmm. And Vic Fangio deserves a lot of credit. But bringing in two corners in the draft, that fixed that position. But that's also a position for the Texans that, sure, you can address it if you want. But I really think the secondary is pretty good going into next year. You have to figure out what you're doing with Derek Stingley and his contract. But Kamari Lassiter had a hell of a year for a second-round pick being your starting corner from the get-go. Kalen Bullock, I think there's a lot of upside there. Secondary, I think, is good. Trenches can always be better, and you should always be adding as much talent as you possibly can to your offensive line and your defensive line. You can't stop. Like, it is one there. That's why Philadelphia won more than anything. It's just their offensive line has depth. One of their guys got injured. They put in somebody else. Mm-hmm. Didn't miss a beat. Maybe it was a little difficult for them to run the football. And then on the defensive line, too, you know, it's not just one guy for Philadelphia, but it was that four, the guys who they were rotating in and out, consistently generating pressure, whether it's Brandon Graham, who's been in the league for a while, or Jalen Carter, who's, you know, only in his second year.
I mean, even look at their offensive line, like what they did this offseason, like they brought in a big, like a huge bust in Mekhi Becton. He was a massive bust for the New York Jets at tackle. They bring him in, they transition him to guard, they coach him well. And he's an impact player for them on a Super Bowl team. Like, you can find guys. You can fix your offensive line. You can find, like, you mentioned Zach Bond, like, the scrap heap. I mean, now, Howie Roseman's the best GM in the NFL. It's hard to even argue at this point. Like, with what they do in the draft and free agency, winning Super Bowls with two different coaches, two different quarterbacks, like, going there with, you know, nearly going there with Carson Wentz at one point. Like, they've crushed their evaluation of everything, even just drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round. When you had Carson Wentz, who just paid, has worked out so well for them. But, like, you also have to be, like, just – you got to coach these guys well. Because you could find a Mekhi Becton and make him serviceable at guard for you.
Coaching is big. You got to have better offensive line coaching this season. A lot of pressure on Cole Popovich. Same thing with your offensive coordinator. A lot of pressure on Nick Caley. I do think it's going to be very hard for them to fix this offensive line in one offseason. I just given the way that they operate – are you going to spend big in free agency? It's going to be difficult for you to do that without restructuring a bunch of contracts, without taking some folks out back and pew, Old Yellering their ass, right? So that's something that I think is going to be a multi-year process. If they can fix it in one offseason, then that might be the best job Nick Caserio's done to this point, which is crazy because he's done a lot of things pretty well.
Yeah, I think fix is nearly impossible, but improve greatly is on the table. Between coaching, development, bringing people in, like, you can improve the offensive line to where at least, like, C.J. Stroud's not getting slaughtered every game.
Yeah, get it improved to average. Yes. Improved to, oh, my God, our quarterback's going to get murdered.
I think we got to see them get to below average before we can ask for them to get to average.
I would like to blow past below average. Yeah. Just, like,
skip that.
I would, too.
Make the three moves that get you to average and then make the two moves that get you over the top.
Because even if that's just leaving Titus at left guard going into the season if he's still on the roster and leaving Blake Fisher at right tackle, Like, in theory, if they develop well and they coach well, that should be a step in the right direction.
True, but also if you don't have the talent at all, and the one guy who has talent is an aloof player, as it is in Laremy Tunsil, then, I mean, crap.
You're right.
And that's one thing about the Eagles, too, is where if you look through their, like, draft history, like, they're just – every single draft, they're leaving with an offensive lineman.
And they're finding guys, whether it's Jason Kelce, who doesn't play for them anymore, of course, at the end of the draft, or it's, you know, a guy who's playing rugby in effing Australia who just happened to be 6'8" and Jordan Mailata. I mean, that's –
yeah,
they have gone through unconventional means, and I don't think the Texans have done that yet. So I would say, yeah, offensive line, it is probably priority number one. Defensive line, priority number two. The trenches win you Super Bowls. Yeah. Who would have thought?
White corner, that helps.
Well, I'm just glad that we had our Jackie Robinson moment, and maybe tonight in flag football, this will allow me to actually get on the field in a position where I know I can excel at. But, you know, people just always doubted me.
I mean, Paul with a pick six tonight.
Yeah.
Paul and Cooper DeGene, same person.
Yeah, I'm putting that in on price.
I hope so. We'll see. We'll see. I feel better about tonight's game than I did about last Monday's game.
So practice was good on Saturday.
I had a couple of sick catches.
Yeah. Okay.
They all think my hands are good now. Here's the funny thing. They're not. I made two incredible catches, and now they think I'm like the hands guy.
So they're going to put you at wide receiver, not corner.
Well, I'm cool with that. They wouldn't even let me in on offense. And I was like, come on, at least a white man can play wide receiver. Come on.
Yeah.
Wes Welker.
Throw you in the slot.
Julian Edelman.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Amendola.
Galana George. He's Joe and Paul. Sean behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call to text. Who are the biggest winners of Super Bowl? Lex, who are the biggest losers of said game? We'll discuss. Stay put.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
713-780-3776 is how you call and how you text in. You have a call. It's Gary. Oh, boy. What a caption. Gary, what's up, dude?
Hey guys! I caught the end of that comment about who was talking about. I guess they were asking a question about all blacks. Do they look alike? And they called.
Oh, that's
about
the flagship,
it.
Dude. The Texans' flagship station thought that they were interviewing Stephon Diggs. So clearly, they think all black people look the same, Gary. It's crazy.
They thought, okay, I wouldn't necessarily think that because, you know, because sometimes you see lookalikes. They got this guy, you know, they got Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. Look, they got people that look alike. So
Gary,
this wasn't
an impersonator, Gary. Yeah. This was just a guy who they saw. They thought it was Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, he was a total nobody.
Okay, so people do. You see people from afar when you're walking or whatever. You say, hey, man, that guy look like it happens.
Hey, Gary, I agree. It does happen. But this happened in a setting where they saw this guy and thought to themselves, you know what? That's Stephon Diggs. Let's put him on the radio.
And then they talk to him for 5 minutes.
Okay, and when they did that, you guys posed the question, do all blacks look alike?
No, we did not throw that out.
No, I'm trying to hold off, I'm trying to hold off to being politically correct because, I mean, off-color stuff, and I just wanted to know where that question comes from. Because they were interviewing that person.
The flagship, listen, I'm just asking the question, if the flagship thinks that all black people, all white people look the same. That's all I'm asking. Just throwing the question out there.
Oh, okay. You asked that all black people, all white people. Okay.
Listen.
Okay. No.
Gary,
so I digress.
You tell, I'll leave this comment.
I mean, you guys, yeah. Lance was doing that same thing this morning, and you know,
that's classic.
Moving around off color comments. But so I'll hold this bullet in the chamber until I really
hold
need
it in the chamber.
You guys
have
a great day.
You too, Gary. We always appreciate you calling it. Joe's holding his face with his hands. I love Gary. He's the best. You want to chime in, you can. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Who's the biggest winner from Super Bowl 59? Who's the biggest loser from Super Bowl 59? Biggest winner's Jalen Hurts. Super Bowl MVP, finally. So he can hold that card up to a bunch of other quarterbacks. A quarterback that has beaten Patrick Mahomes in a big time game. Only Joe Burrow could hold that card up to this point. And considering He's the quarterback at Alabama, gets benched in the national championship game. Tua Tagovailoa puts this throw down the middle of the field. That was amazing. I thought it was pretty cool for, in this game, Hurts to have a throw down the middle of the field that just iced the game for Philadelphia. Obviously, the defense did a lot of the legwork there, but Hurts was fantastic in this game. And considering how well he played in the first game that these two teams played against each other, but he had that fumble and an unforced fumble that the Chiefs recovered, this was huge for him. So I think no one's a bigger winner than Jalen Hurts today.
I'm going to go a little outside the box. I'm gonna go with Nico Harrison a little bit here.
Mavericks GM,
because none of the talking head shows today are talking about how Anthony Davis might be out for the year.
Okay.
Because it happens Super Bowl weekend.
Shams tweeted it like in the third quarter of the game. Or maybe it was during the halftime show.
Yeah.
Like it was as buried as you could possibly bury something.
Yeah, so a little bit of a winner for Nico Harrison today, where him and his fake death threats are going to be okay.
Is Nick Sirianni a bigger winner? Because Nick Sirianni's coaching resume with a Super Bowl win all of a sudden gets him put in graphics next to like all-time great coaches. If you go, one Super Bowl win, another appearance, and like winning percentage, because he has some ridiculous like 700 winning percentage, where it now puts him in a class of coaches that is like upper echelon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where what at the start of the season, we're like, this guy might get fired.
Should have been fired going into last year. I agree.
It's such a quick turnaround from, oh my God, this guy's going to have to beg for his job back. They basically strip him of his coordinator hiring duties, and they let the GM hire two different coordinators. And now, again, he has like a 70 win percentage and a Super Bowl ring, and he's now kind of certified as a coach. Now, we did think the same thing about Doug Peterson, and he was fired 2 years later. So Eagles do things a little differently, but I think as far as like Sirianni staying power in the NFL and how he's viewed as a coach, it's like way up.
Yeah, it's a huge win for him. So he's 48-20 all time now. He's 6-3 in the playoffs, 2-time NFC East champion, 2-time NFC champion, 1-time Super Bowl champion. That's in 4 years. I mean, that's an incredible resume, and for a guy that was nearly fired, I think it also shows like what we've learned in the last 30 days of 2025 is like, don't listen to your fans all the time. Hello, Ryan Day and Nick Sirianni. Two coaches that like everybody wanted fire at Ohio State and Philadelphia.
Hello, Houston, Texas, and Bobby Slowick. Huh?
Maybe. Nico Harrison.
Yeah,
don't listen to your fans, Nico.
Yeah, don't listen.
Don't open any mail.
He's
either.
Fat. Don't bring him
back. More winners from Super Bowl 59. Vic Fangio as defensive coordinator, but more importantly, the Eagles defense. I mean, they didn't blitz once, and they sacked Patrick Mahomes 6 times. They have a pick six with Cooper DeJean. They intercepted Mahomes 3 times in this game. One of the best defensive performances you're ever going to see in a Super Bowl.
I mean, yeah, you're going to see guys like Josh Sweat get paid in a big way this offseason. There's a bunch of guys on there that it's just they've made themselves a lot of money on the Eagles, both offensively and defensively. Jahan Dotson's another one on the offensive side where he's been pretty quiet this entire year, but they traded for him, and he's been had some big moments in the playoffs and in multiple games. So, yeah, the players themselves, along with Sirianni, and also include Vic Fangio in there. Like, he's been a coach since, like, the 80s. He finally gets it done. He's always been recognized as one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL. Fired after a year in Miami and then goes to Philadelphia and wins the Super Bowl, like, with a dominating performance.
More winners. Tom Brady. And the Patriots.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
No doubt about
it. Tom Brady being on site for basically for 3 of the 4 playoff Mahomes losses. That's pretty good.
That's pretty sick. Love it. Mountain Dew and Totino's, winners of the Super Bowl.
Totino's was a big hit.
The Totino's one. Is it Tostino's or Totino's?
Tostino's.
Okay. Tostino's, they use the I Think You Should Leave / Detroiters actors. Tim Robinson. I forget who they got.
Sam Richardson.
Yes. I wish that they showed the one that they couldn't put on the air where the little alien guy's eye popped out.
Yeah.
But they didn't
see that. That's funny.
Mountain Dew had an ad where Seal was a seal singing.
Yes.
It was a lot, but it was great. More winners from the Super Bowl. Referees!
We're off their back?
It's not rigged for the Chiefs. It's rigged for perhaps anyone that the NFL sees fit on a given day. because there were some bad calls made against the Chiefs. But I think that this got the monkey off the refs' back, because I think everyone wanted the refs to call against the Chiefs in this game. Give them a little of their own medicine.
Yeah, I think the refs definitely got a break for the rest of the offseason. They're not going to be the main talking point this offseason anymore.
Yeah.
It felt like they were going to be.
They dodged a bullet, especially because it was 34-0 at some point, where it's absolutely not a factor, where even you mentioned the two unnecessary roughness calls that were like the softest calls you've ever seen that went against the Chiefs. Doesn't matter, because it's not even remotely a close game enough for people to like care about it. So, yeah, 100% off the hook. Thank you, Roger Goodell, for not rigging this one.
Winners of Super Bowl 59, brought up on the text line, and we mentioned this already, but Howie Roseman, his roster construction.
Yeah.
The possibility of an Eagles dynasty. After the game, Saquon Barkley said, let's start our own dynasty.
I don't know.
They've been to two of the last three Super Bowls.
If
you win another, it helps.
They go back-to-back? Yeah.
If they go back-to-back and they are going for a three-peat themselves.
People couldn't go back-to-back for like 20 years. Now, all of a sudden, everyone's going to go back-to-back.
Yeah. They're going to win the next one. And then, you know, when the Texans beat the Eagles the next year, the Texans will go back-to-back.
There we go. While CJ Stroud's still on his rookie contract.
I don't know about the last part of that. But I try. You know what? Wishful thinking. It's fun. Right? Believing. Kendrick Lamar, I mean, listen, whether you liked or didn't like the halftime show, he got to do the halftime show.
It was a victory lap.
And the halftime show was legitimately also that he could build up to roasting Drake, and this time he did it in front of 100 million people.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gotten to do Not Like Us to progressively bigger and bigger crowds. Mm-hmm. He got to do the Amazon Prime show. He got to do, I don't think he actually performed it at the Grammys, but he picked up 5 Grammys for that song. And then now doing it on the biggest TV event of the year. I'd say winner.
Yeah.
More of a body of work winner, but winner.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. And then obviously loser is an entire stadium just yelled minor.
Yeah. Drake. That's tough. I thought it was piped in. Like, live, I was like, did they pipe in? Because that was so loud.
No, because the only thing anyone knows of, like, the lyrics of his songs is to say a minor. So, like, that's why it was loud in that
moment. Yeah, and I saw videos of people at the stadium. I was like, nope, that was the loudest thing. Everyone was screaming that.
It was pretty funny that everyone was just screaming that at the same time. And it wasn't just at the Super Bowl. I saw a video from Circa Las Vegas where out on the pool area, everyone was doing the same thing. Because that's really what everyone was waiting for. That specific moment of that song where he the pedophile line, which he didn't say on TV. Honestly, everyone acting like it was such a groundbreaking moment for him to say a minor on TV. We've heard SH, you know what, on TV like 20 years ago. We've heard worse on TV. If he had called him an outright pedophile on TV, that would have been groundbreaking, because that is lawsuit territory.
Yeah, that, and I'm guessing that's why he pulled up and let the crowd say it.
And probably because the NFL, I bet, said, hey, don't do this. Don't do this.
Drake's a Canadian. It doesn't matter.
That is true.
They go all over the world. Ireland, Australia.
Someone texted in saying, hey, it's also about how Canadian Drake, who is from an affluent place, is cosplaying as an American rapper, in addition to some of the other stuff we were talking about a little bit earlier. Did President Trump win? He went to the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before the game, on his way there, he renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. That is official. He banned the production of pennies.
Yeah,
cool.
Took a picture with Jackson Mahomes.
Love it.
Shook Chris Jones' hand right before the game. A lot of people think that the Chiefs lost because they were too pro-Trump.
Mm. It was funny, like, if you watch the video, like, the Secret Service is, like, kind of weary of what's happening because Chris Jones is massive. And then they kind of catch on. He's like, no, he wants to shake his hand, and Trump comes back.
Was he in uniform?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's like as he's warming up.
It was as he was warming up, right.
Yeah. I'd be like, this guy's clearly just a player who wants to shake his hand. I don't know.
But,
yeah. Did he think he was just going to grab him? Break him over his knee?
WWE style, yeah. Just like right
give him
there
a power bomb.
Yeah. Got a huge cheer.
He did. Taylor Swift got booed. Trump got cheered.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's the next beef we need. We need some diss tracks about that.
Yeah, where's the Taylor? I mean, listen, Travis Kelce said he supported him, you know, or he was happy that he was going to be watching the game before the game. Is that going to be the part of their relationship and his just god-awful performance in this game that lend itself to the breakup and Taylor Swift's new album? Mm. Let's keep on going. I want to play the 10-minute drill intro, and we'll talk about the biggest losers of Super Bowl 59.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Biggest losers of Super Bowl 59. Is it Patrick Mahomes? He threw some rough interceptions. The one that he threw to Zach Bond in particular was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
He missed a couple of opportunities to chuck it deep to Xavier Worthy. There was that one play where he wound up. I thought he was going to throw it deep. And as he was winding up, I thought to myself, when's the last time that I've seen Patrick Mahomes just chuck it deep? It's been a while. At least it feels like it's been a while. He might have been concussed early on in this game. That might be people making excuses for a guy who's now lost two Super Bowls by multiple scores. Thank you, Sean.
I'm not allowing the concussed thing. It's the same thing as the James Harden Spurs game that people are like, he might have been concussed because he got hit in the head the game before. I'm like, then don't play. Like, if you're, like, yeah. Just pull him at that point.
It's the same thing with the Josh Allen game versus the Texans. Like, it's a convenient excuse to find one play in which, yes, his head hits the ground, but
he pops right back up.
Yes.
He does. Like, Josh Allen looked dead, at least for 30 seconds.
Good point.
He pops right up. Like, guys, people are going to hit their head in football.
But
sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the Brady debate, it's dead. Like, Mahomes is still a great quarterback. He's going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But in terms of, like, entering the GOAT conversation, it has been hit with a major pause button.
He has to win five Super Bowls.
Five more?
Five more Super Bowls, yeah.
Yeah.
Five more?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has to go for eight.
He has to have more than Brady now.
Yeah. That's the only way.
I don't think it's enough.
I think five would be enough.
If he rips off five more, we're going to forget about this one.
But he has to win them.
So Brady has seven?
Brady has seven wins in 10 appearances. But never lost a game by more than a score.
Exactly. And Mahomes has two of those, and he lost to Brady twice in the playoffs. Like, I don't know if you can just win one more Super Bowl than Brady, because he still has a 2-0 advantage against you when he's 40.
I'm putting it out there. Just putting it out there. He'd have to win five more Super Bowls, though. Let's see him win one more Super Bowl before we start having the Mahomes or Montana argument. How about that?
Montana never lost a Super Bowl.
Montana never lost a Super Bowl. Now, I do think it's
they never lost one.
That there are a couple of Super Bowls he didn't make because he got smoked along the way. But
didn't lose the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
Evan Jordan.
So, Nick Wright, part of this conversation.
Ooh, Nick Wright is a huge loser in this one.
Like,
Nick, stop watching in the third quarter.
Whoa.
Ooh.
That's soft boy of the year.
He whistled all the touchdowns.
I texted Nick before the game. I didn't hear back from him, but I texted him saying, like, yeah, I mean, I'm rooting against you guys, but best of luck. And he turned off the TV in the third quarter, after I think the Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith touchdown pass. Look, you got to at least wait until there's 6 minutes left in the game before you turn it off. You have a godlike quarterback, and clearly you don't worship him. You wouldn't jihad for him the same way I would jihad for Tom Brady.
I mean,
that's
you got to at least wait until like the earliest Gatorade dump in the history of sports to turn it off. Like, they Gatorade dumped with 2 minutes and 52 seconds left in the game
before,
like,
the 2 minute warning.
Like, that's when you, like, if you would have said I turned off the TV, then I understand. But like, you're a fake soft fan if you're turning it off in the third quarter. It's the Super Bowl.
It was such an early Gatorade.
It was.
It's all gone
It was, like,
early.
Shocking how early it was.
Also, great job by the cameraman who caught both Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, and then where they paused for a moment where Sirianni looked behind and they started acting all slick.
Yeah.
It was
A-plus performance all night for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Including the Gatorade dump.
Even that moment right
so
there.
So early that he was Sirianni was dry in the post-game interview.
Travis Kelce. Yeah, he played horrible.
Oh,
yeah. He played horrible, and on top of that, there's a lot of questions about if that was his last game ever. Man, would you want to go out like that? But he just did not look like the same player in that game.
You can't go out like that. You got to play one more year.
Can't propose like that either.
No, that definitely.
Can you propose this offseason?
I don't know.
I, I kind of agree. I think it was too bad of a loss.
I think he needs to wait. Like, he has to have a good couple of weeks before the bye week.
Yeah, bye week, maybe. Bye week proposal. Like how Josh Allen did it.
Taylor Swift, she got booed, and her man didn't look so good.
She handled it well, it seems. She seemed a little confused about why she was getting booed, but...
Which... I feel like you should know.
It's Philadelphia. They're your people.
Yeah.
And you betrayed them.
I think she just didn't realize she was on the Jumbotron at first.
I get that she's dating Travis Kelce. She grew up an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
And for Philadelphia and for Northeastern cities, you turning your back on one of the teams you grew up with, it is turncoat stuff. A lot of my friends in Boston hate that I turned my back on the Red Sox. Like, they hold it against me. I'm like, I don't care. But they hate it. They're pissed off. I'm like, you left that down in your rearview mirror. Like, I'm like, yeah, I did.
Never left the baseball team in my rearview
mirror. Not you guys. Yeah. But to them, it's one and the same.
She's also, like, a mascot for the Chiefs. Like, she's, like, she's the most famous Chiefs fan. Like, of course she's going to get booed. Like, if the Celtics were playing the Lakers and they showed Jack Nicholson, like, he would get booed in Boston. Like, I don't know why she was shocked. I honestly don't understand why she was shocked. She's been to enough football games to know when people get booed.
But not losing football games. Like, what's her record probably? Like, 90% wins?
She's 1-1 in Super Bowls.
1-1 in Super Bowls.
Like, she's not used to losing.
Versus Brady.
It's true.
Long way to go. Long way to go to catch Brady.
Yeah.
Catch Jalen Hurts first, all right? All right, Tay-Tay.
Worse than Eli Manning.
Ooh.
Yikes.
So she's not going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
She's not going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a super fan or a contributor. As badly as the NFL probably wants to make that happen.
They probably do.
Just for that one weekend in Canton.
Got to say, it would have been... I would have liked a little more famous people as a part of the halftime show for Kendrick Lamar and... Would have been cool if Taylor Swift was a part of it. Would have been cool if anyone else was a part of it. Samuel L. Jackson, it was funny to see him up there, but the script he was reading from was lame.
Yeah it was like a funny bit, like a funny idea, and then, like, okay, you're just kind of waiting for someone else.
He didn't say mother effer, so, like, what's the point? What are we even doing
here? The one word you can't say.
When's, like, the last time, I couldn't even tell you the last time we saw a Super Bowl halftime show, there was no second performer.
Oh, Rihanna.
Rihanna, she went solo yeah, well, the whole time?
And then afterwards, well, because she was pregnant, and she said that the unborn baby was the
That's right.
surprise
guest. I guess SZA was there.
Yeah.
I know
how she
was,
said
though.
That. That is kind of insufferable. But hey, that's artists. Drake, huge loser.
Oh, yeah.
For this one.
I almost think, like, yes, this is a bad L, but now it's, like, kind of over. You know? Like, this was kind of the end of it, and now is the opportunity to claw your way back up.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people, like, don't know, like, Kendrick Lamar for anything besides this. So
that's crazy.
A lot of people who don't like the Super Bowl show, like, then, like, the halftime show, like, this is what they know about Kendrick Lamar. Is he wrote a diss track about Drake.
Don't make Kendrick mad. That's what they learned.
Yeah, but, like, also, he seems like a very serious fella.
Yeah.
He's a little petty.
I don't know if he's going to keep trying to make this thing. At some point, he has to stop.
Well, he did have, like, one of the highest-selling albums of all time before Drake. Like, that's where... It's a little bit of just where we are in America, where, like, we just can't name famous musicians of genres we don't listen to. Where it's like...
True.
Like, I was trying to think of other artists that, like, people would be okay with, and, like, most of them have already done it, or are just different, like, rappers that they would also be mad at if this guy did it.
I think they should have spread out what happened in L.A. with all those performers.
Maybe,
like,
that
50,
is
Dre, Snoop, Eminem.
It also lowers the, like,
Kendrick Lamar.
It also lowers the how famous you have to be to do it.
Yeah,
it lowers the bar a little bit because we are going to run out of, like, Super Bowl acts at some point.
No, there'll always be something.
There'll always be something.
I'm saying if Kendrick Lamar is too current of an artist, like, you're going to have to go older, and we're going to run out of those guys.
What they should do is it should be kind of like Coachella in that you have two surprise guests, maybe one who's new and one who's old, so that everyone's happy, at least for a second, and you're surprised by what you're happy about. Because that's what Coachella does the best. It's like, oh, damn, I didn't know that Tupac was still alive. Like, you know, it's stuff like that. Here's a hologram of Tupac, obviously. It wasn't really, but, you know, that's
the, I mean, he might be in Cuba.
There's the surprise.
If he didn't come back for this.
The surprise element wasn't there. Like, it was like, oh, Serena Williams was there for 2 seconds. Yeah. And I had to, like, double check. I was like, was that Serena Williams? I'm not 100% sure. Biggest loser of the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend, Kayla Nicole.
No, she won.
What's she supposed to talk about now?
She won the Super Bowl.
When Travis Kelce retires, she's back to irrelevance.
She went on the field in all Eagles colors and was basically rolling around in confetti.
Sounds like she won the Super Bowl.
Oh, Mahomes again for the outfit, man. Wearing all green before the game?
Mahomes wearing all green, not great.
You can't do that and lose.
Yeah.
As brought up by at random, 848437 on X, Taylor got booed, Drake got called a pedo, and the Chiefs got blown out by 20, and somehow Kayla Nicole is the biggest loser of the night. I agree.
Now, I have a follow-up question to that.
What?
There's a new brand forming around Kayla Nicole and Taylor Swift, around Paul Gallant.
I know.
Is there a trickle-down effect to Paul Gallant?
Listen, I'm just doing what gets me nuppies.
The Super Bowl this weekend?
Someone said, like, you need to let it go. I was like, no, I'm not. Until she lets it go, I'm not letting it go. Because I need... She still has relevance. I have no relevance. And this is clearly getting me a little relevance. The Swifties love me now.
So then crazy. Paul's a loser this weekend.
Yeah.
No, honestly, I'm a winner because she gave me this content. But yeah, okay. She's like trying to make out with Nick Sirianni after the game. I mean, come on.
Was she really?
No, she was just talking to him. That would be awesome. Hilarious. That would be hilarious.
That's what... When I saw that she was like celebrating on the field, I was like... Was she one of the Eagles players plus ones? Because that would be hilarious.
It would be.
An Eagles player was like, you can come to... Like, I'm not using one of my tickets. You can come on the field in the friends and family section.
There's a video of her shaking hands with Nick Sirianni. And what do you think that exchange was like? Hey, I used to bang Travis Kelce. Like, dude, what do you think it was?
No idea.
That's why I'm here. What do you think about that, Nick? And Nick's like, get away from me. I need to dry off from my Gatorade. All right, winners and losers of Super Bowl 59. It is Gallant and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. Sean is behind the glass. We are 2 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach. The latest on the Astros and who Joe Espada thinks needs to step up, say Alex Bregman doesn't come back. Stay put.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Eagles, 40. Chiefs, 22. Eagles! That's what a lot of Philadelphians are probably still sounding like today. It's going to be a lot of cleanup for Philadelphia. You think what's going on in L.A. is bad. Oh, boy. Philadelphia after a Super Bowl parade. Philadelphia after just a long Sunday night into Monday. You see some of the traffic poles were being physically removed from the ground and carried down the street like they were the long pikes that William Wallace and the Scots used against the British in the first battle in the movie Braveheart. They're just carrying them around. Like, they were going to go sell them for scrap metal. And look, I get it. In Philadelphia, you might have to do that, especially if you're living in Camden. But, hey, Philadelphia, they know how to party, and congratulations, they get to party.
Do you think it was crazier in Philly or in New Orleans last night?
That's a good question. Probably in Philadelphia. I'm sure there were some people having fun in New Orleans, but I would imagine the intensity in Philadelphia a lot more. It's colder up there, and there's less fun stuff to distract you. Because in NOLA, you want to get drinks, and you probably want to get laid, right? If you're out in Philadelphia in the middle of the street, you want to burn things.
Yeah, sure.
Because that's just like second nature to Philadelphians. And they did burn Kermit the Frog, so that was fun. Good for them.
They did do that.
We are, oh my God, we're 2 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach. We are catchers and pitchers reporting to spring training Eve, right?
Baseball's back.
Doing the math. Baseball almost back. Give me that bone.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
Alex Bregman, still unsigned.
Yes, he is. With nothing new coming, it feels like.
Nothing new. Joe, what actually matters in spring training on this pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training Eve's Eve?
I think the most important thing is whatever happens in left field. I know we're going to get into it tomorrow, but Joe Spada was on Chandler Rome's podcast, said that Zach DiCenzo is going to get a lot of run at both left field and right field. So in the corners, so like that'll have a trickle-down effect. You have Taylor Trammell. We'll see Altuve in left a little bit. I think left field is the most interesting thing that's going to happen. Besides that, I'm just fascinated to see if we'll see Lance McCullers or Luis Garcia appear.
Are you really fascinated to see if we'll see Lance McCullers?
Honestly, yes.
Are you fascinated?
I kind of am. Because I want to hear what they say about
that
Lance
McCullers. That is a wrong choice of words.
Very curious?
You're not curious. You know what's going to happen.
They're the ones claiming he's going to be back shortly after opening day. So is he going to appear in spring training?
I love Lance McCullers. He gets way too much flack. The Astros gave him that contract. That said, it's not fascinating. It's not.
I just want to hear what they're going to say.
Until he is back out there, to me, he does not exist.
He's not a real person.
He is not a player. He is a Astros pundit, and I like him. I think he will be a great
local businessman,
podcaster someday.
He's okay? Also a local businessman.
That's true.
He is a local businessman. It's not fascinating.
I think it is.
So you would say that it is strongly attractive and interesting?
It's very interesting.
Is it very interesting?
It is!
Why is it very interesting?
Because what are they going to say? Like, is he going to pitch this year or not? Like, it's been 3 years, well, it feels like.
Probably not is always the safe answer with Lance McCullers.
But again, they're making it seem like he's going to.
You just said it's been 3 years. Yeah, chances are it. If he does pitch, won't be for very long.
Joe, this team loves to put out positive news to spin things that haven't gone well for them.
That's why I want to know what they're going to say this time, because you can't keep spinning.
He looks good. He looks good. He's still working on stuff. Velocity's coming up. We're trying to bring him along slowly.
He's touching 90.
They are going to spin it. You are fascinated how they will spin it, and I just don't understand how you're fascinated about how they'll spin it. It's going to be completely bat bleep sounding.
That's
much like
it
does.
That's part of it.
That you think you're going to see him after opening day. I hope that he proves us all wrong. I really do. I wish him the best. He's a good dude. But I'm not fascinated by this, nor am I interested in what Lance McCullers does.
Are you captivated?
No,
I'm not captivated.
Engrossed?
I don't know, Joe. I think you are captivated by it.
I wouldn't say captivated.
No, well, but fascination, captivation.
Because I want to see like what they're going to do. Like, are they going to lie to us again for an entire spring training?
Yes, of course. That's all they ever do.
They did it with Kyle Tucker last
Kyle
year.
Kyle Tucker had a bruise. Yeah, broken leg.
But it's different with Lance McCullers and Kyle Tucker.
No, it's not. It's always the same. These barber surgeons, they're just a bunch of liars.
Are you transfixed?
No.
Okay.
Enthralled? I don't think I've ever used that word, transfixed.
Transfixed?
Joe's never going to use the word fascination again.
Never again.
We're going to just jump on him.
I don't think I've ever used the word transfixed in a sentence.
Damn.
Have you?
No, is that a slur? Transfixed?
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
That's what they're doing in the school. Are you mesmerized?
No.
Okay.
Walk that one back.
No, don't walk it back.
Walk it back.
I'm
getting bullied like Patrick Mahomes right now.
Just saying fascinated is very funny.
I think you should lean into your fascination with whether or not Lance McCullers would pitch.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about it every day. Every Astros countdown we do, I'm going to bring up
Lance McCullers. Make it a bit. Like, just lean into it.
The McCullers report.
McCullers watch. 2025.
That would be pretty funny. Is he pitching? No.
Will McCullers watch be more or less interesting than Bregman watch?
No.
They're both equally not interesting to
me. Well, we at least get like some updates on that.
I guess because Bregman, I know will play, I don't know, most of the season at the very least.
But for what team?
That's interesting. That's more interesting than Lance McCullers maybe playing for the Astros.
Because every McCullers update is like, what's throwing surface is he throwing off of this time? Is it elevated?
Yeah, that's true.
Is it rubber? Is it turf?
Is it indoor? Is it outdoor?
At least they change.
Is there a batting cage?
They change.
Is there a live batter?
That's the difference.
Is there a catcher?
Is he in full uniform?
Is he using a
Remember
balloon?
When he was in full uniform like 6 months ago pitching?
Yeah.
And just nothing came of it?
Yeah. Because he was ready.
That's interesting.
Trying to motivate the boys.
I'm fascinated by that.
Thanks, guys.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Super Bowl 59 in the books. The 2024-2025 NFL season is over, and it's the Eagles who are Super Bowl champions. That game was a blowout, but I think you should have enjoyed it. You'll find out why next. Stay put.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.